We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 9th chapter, verses 13 to 27. Tiryam nagadija sare supati vatakya madhya ribi parishitam sarasat vishesham rupam stavishana jate maradatya lekham nata param paramadhekhina yattavadha. My dear Lord, O Supreme Unborn, I know that the different varieties of living entities, such as animals, trees, birds, reptiles, demigods, and human beings, are spread throughout the universe, which is caused by the total material energy. And I know that they are sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. But I have never experienced the supreme form I behold as I see you now. Now all kinds of methods of theorizing come to an end. Lord Krishnagarbha has appeared before Dhruva Maharaj to awaken him from materialistic life. Remember the verses that Srila Prabhupada quoted, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Utishtata, Jagata, Papyavran Nibodhata. Wake up! Time for spiritual life. Now you're a human being. You must engage in devotional service. So not only did he appear before him, but he entered within Dhruva Maharaj and enlivened all his senses. His eyes became enlivened. All his senses, he felt like drinking the Lord through his eyes, kissing his lotus feet, embracing him, and desiring to offer prayers, but feeling inadequate. Dhruva simply fell flat to offer his obeisances to the Lord. Then the Lord mercifully touched him on the forehead with his kancha, and he was enlivened, he was enlightened with all knowledge and able to offer very wonderful prayers to the Supreme Lord. First, he regretted his materialistic mentality in worshipping the Lord, because the Lord is just like a desire tree who can give anything you desire. But instead of asking for wonderful things, he asked it for some broken pieces of glass. He says, now I've got a very valuable jewel. I don't want anything else. He forgot everything that he ever desired before he performed his austerities, because he realized now that the bliss of devotional service goes far beyond anything in this world, including even the heavenly planets, and even beyond this world, Brahmananda. So what did he pray for? And in conclusion of what we heard, the prayers we heard on Monday, what was his heartfelt prayer? What did he desire? Yes? Sadhu Sangha. Yes, association of devotees. He said, association of devotees are just like soothing waves in a river that can easily take us across the blazing fire of the ocean of this material world. And the result of Sadhu Sangha is detachment from society, friendship, and love of this world. Now in verses 13 to 15, Dhruva will glorify the form of the Lord. Here he's saying that I've seen so many forms in this world, but no form can compare to the form I'm seeing now, your transcendental form. So why so much stress on form? We know he's the Lord, but why all this, so much stress the Vaishnavas make on the form of the Lord? What's the big deal? Yeah. It's all attractive. Yes. It's impetus for the devotee. And in the purport, did you have something to say? No. In the purport, Prabhupada explains that people in this world are serving anything and everything except Lord Krishna. Paragraph 2, Prabhupada says, Dhruva Maharaj here compares his previous state of understanding with the perfection of understanding in the presence of the Supreme Lord. The position of a living entity is to render service. Unless he comes to the stage of appreciating the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he engages in the service of the various forms of trees, reptiles, animals, men, demigods, etc. One can experience that one man engages in the service of a dog, another serves plants and creepers. another demigod, another humanity, or his boss in the office. But no one is engaged in the service of Krishna. So now he's going to step by step describe different levels of people, starting with the karmis. So that was the karmis. Now here we go to the transcendentalists. Aside from common men, even men who are elevated in terms of spiritual understanding, are the utmost engaged in service of the Virat Rupa, universal form. Or unable to understand the ultimate form of the Lord, they worship voidism by meditation. Dhruva Maharaj, however, had been blessed by the Supreme Lord when the Lord touched his kansha to Dhruva's forehead. Real knowledge was revealed from within, and Dhruva could understand the Lord's transcendental form. So one thing that's very common in today's religions is this lack of understanding of the form of the Lord. What are the different beliefs that we know of in today's religions? What do the most of the Christians believe? That God, who is God? What is God? Or who is God? He's elderly. Elderly, the judge. And sometimes if they think he is a person, they'll paint him without a face. Faceless, I've seen. They have God without a face. Who? What? Burning bush, yes. Actually, one time, Srila Prabhupada asked the Archbishop of England, what is your conception of God? He said, a burning bush. My God is a burning bush. Because that's how he appeared in the Bible to somebody. It's a burning bush. Yes. Wrinkled face. Old man. Yes, if they do put a face on him, then it's an old face.
Muscular,
but old. Yes, muscular God with an old face. Now, these are the conceptions of God. Anything else? Yeah, okay, so... Right, they don't see a difference. But actually, if we study scrutinizingly the teachings of Jesus, we'll find that he never claimed to be God himself. So yes, in the absence of knowledge of the form of the Lord, then they accept the form of Jesus. Yes?
The universe.
The universe, yes. There are not only the Christians, there are so many different beliefs that are followed as religion. So some people, they accept the universe. I was walking in the forest with one of my brothers, and he told me, he said, I think that, you know, the forest is God. I think nature is God. Nature. So they worship nature. They think this is God. And here Prabhupada says also voidism. This is the supreme. Just to become nothing. To become void. So these are the different conceptions. And that's why so much emphasis on the form of the Lord. Because it's lacking in today's modern religions. Verse 14. I'll sing verse. Kalpantari tarakilam chatarena kriknan shette puman sajiganan tasakas tarante anna visindu akanshila loka padma karade divam bhagavate paratosvitasvai. My dear Lord, at the end of each millennium, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, dissolves everything manifested within the universe into his belly. He lies down on the lap of Sheshanaga. From his navel sprouts a golden lotus flower on his stem. And on that lotus, Lord Brahma is created. I can understand that you are the same Supreme Godhead. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So now he's experiencing the Lord as the creator, his origin, the origin of everything in this world. So Prabhupada, in the purport, Prabhupada says, Dhruva Maharaja's understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is complete. In the Vedas it is said, Yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. Knowledge received through the transcendental causeless mercy of the Lord is so perfect that by knowledge the devotee becomes acquainted with all the different manifestations of the Lord. What verses support this statement by Srila Prabhupada in the Vedas? The devotee, by the mercy of the Lord, becomes so perfect that he knows everything. What's that, Madhavan Puri? Yes, Yasya Devi Parad Bhakti. Okay, yes, Adipurush. Oh, yes. Tesham Evanukam Paratam Aham Gyanajam Tama Nashayam Yakmavavastu Gyana Deepena Vasvata. Anything else? There's something in the 15th chapter of Gita also, isn't there? One who knows the Lord knows everything. One who knows me. Vato Janati Purushottam. Yes, Sasarvavid Vajatimam. So one who knows me as Purushottama, this is Purushottama month. So one who knows Krishna as Purushottama, he knows everything. So these are some of the verses that explain, if you're a devotee, if you know Krishna, you know everything. In the paragraph 3 of the purport, Prabhupada says, those who are not devotees cannot understand the different forms of Vishnu and their positions in regard to the creation. Sometimes the atheists argue, how can a flower stem sprout from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu? They consider all the statements of the Shastras to be stories. So last year I mentioned in a lecture on Bhagavatam 5531 here in Vrindavan, 1976, Prabhupada brought up this point about the navel coming from Vishnu, that he was talking with one friend from Arya Samaj. And his friend was saying, this is mythology. How can a lotus grow from the navel of Vishnu? This is quite impossible. I don't believe it. How I can't understand this. How this can happen. So Prabhupada said to him, you see one coconut tree in front of you, 60 feet high. There is a coconut way up there. There is water in the coconut. Where is the pipe to bring the water? And where is the pump? Because you need a pipe to bring water so high, you need a pump also. So can you explain this? And the man said, no, I cannot. So you can't even understand something right in front of you. How are you going to understand the navel of Vishnu? So that was his point. It's the same idea. The lotus is up there, and there's a stem, and water is going, and all these things. Yes.
It's also not so strange because
we all have a navel, but we don't have lotus. We're connected. Yes, that's true. When you're in the womb of your mother, it's kind of like there's kind of like a lotus there, connected from the mother. Yes. It's not exactly the lotus of Lord Brahma. And some devotee children have been sitting on that lotus at the time of birth with their Gayatri, saying their Gayatri, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj also. Yeah, one of my friends, her kid was sitting in the lotus posture, and he would, you know, backwards. So he wouldn't turn around. He refused to turn, sitting in a lotus posture. Yeah, in the womb. Yeah. Anyway, these things happen. Verse 15. Tvam nitya mukta parishuddha vibhuta atma. Buddhasta Adi Purusho Bhagavan Sarisha Yad Buddha Vastati Makam Vitaya Sadishtya Dashta Stita Vati Makam Yati Vittase. Prabhupada says, an atheistic argument against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead states that if God, the Supreme Person, appears and disappears and sleeps and awakens, then what is the difference between God and the living entity? Dhruva Maharaj is carefully distinguishing the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from that of the living entities. He points out the following differences. So, I'm going to... I forgot to read the verse, didn't I? Anyway, I'm going to read the verse now, and I'm going to do something else. I'm going to read the verse, and I'm going to read the English, and I want you to tell me the Sanskrit for each word that I read. Okay? You got that? So, look in your word for word. I'll read the verse. My Lord, by your unbroken, transcendental glance, Akanditaya, you got it? Akanditaya Swadishtya. Okay, by your unbroken transcendental glance, you are the supreme witness. Dashta. Of all stages of intellectual activities. What's that? Yabud Yavastitim. Okay? You are eternally liberated. Nitya Mukto. Your existence is situated in pure goodness. Acha? Parishuta. And you are existent in the Supersoul without change. Atma Kutasta. You are the original personality of Godhead. Aripurisha Bhagavan, full with six opulences. Chadisha, eternally the master of the three modes of material nature. Chadisha. Thus you are always different from the ordinary living entities. As Lord Vishnu, you maintain all the affairs of the entire universe, and yet you stand aloof and are the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. So this is the difference between us and Krishna. This is the difference. He has all these qualities. Of course, we may have some of these qualities in finite. We may also become Nityamukta, but at the moment, we're not. But we're Nitya Badha. Of course, we're on the path, so therefore we're on the path of Mukti. So next thing I want to do is I'm going to read these Sanskrit words again. Nitya Mukta, eternally liberated. And I'm going to ask you to give me a verse that also supports this fact about the Lord. So first one is Nitya Mukta, eternally liberated. Where is the verse? What's that Sankirtan? Vinatva Nama Namino. Yes, Nitya Mukta. The holy name is Nitya Mukta, so that the Lord is also. Anything else? Bhagavad Gita. Lord is Nityamukta. Yeah, oh. Careful how you put your hands. Bhagavad Gita. Ajopi san avyayatma, bhutanam isharopi san. Okay, he appears. Although he's unborn, he still appears. Okay. Parishuta, uncontaminated. Yes, Ishopanishad, yes. Apapa Vidam, Ishopanishad. Anything else? Uncontaminated. Amma Pavita, Pavitra Va. Also, I was thinking Param Dhamma, Param Brahma, Pavita, Paramam Brahma, Arjuna said. Vibhuta, full of knowledge. Krishna is full of knowledge. Vipashchit, yesterday he said Vipashchit, okay? Beginning, yes? Sarasya Chaham Vidisanivishto. Okay, beginning of Bhagavatam, Avigya. Avigya, yes, oh, that's conscious. Full of knowledge. He is Vibhuta and we are Vimuta. That's the difference. Okay, Atma Kutasta, Supaso. And again, that's Sarasya Chaham Vidisani Vishto. What verse is that? 1323, okay. Kutasta. Okay, what verse is that? 1516. Kutasta. Without change. Okay. Which one is that? Next, okay, chapter 15, if you want to find Super Soul without change. And how about Adi Purusha Bhagavan? Obvious. Yes. This is an obvious one. Adi Purusha Bhagavan. Krishna Param Purush. I'm thinking of something even more obvious. Govindam Adi Purusham. Tamam Bhajami. Very obvious. Govinda Madhi Purisham, Lord Brahma says. Chadisha, full of six opulences. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya. Yes, in the third canto there's Chadisha also. Chadisha. So many threes. Yes, threes. Three modes, three worlds, and different three worlds also. Three worlds in the material world, and then material, spiritual, and Vaikuntha and Goloka. Three worlds. Okay. Akanditaya Swadishtya. Unbroken glance. Mayatyeksha Pakuti Suyate Sachacha. Under my glance, everything is working. Yeah, Akanda Kirtan, unbroken, 24 hours. Unbroken. Akanda. Akanda means to break. Drashta, witness. Upadrashta, okay? Upadrashta. Stita, maintaining, maintainer. Chaitana, non, okay? Matstani, sambhutani, achahante, shalastita. Adimaka, enjoyer. Eighth chapter. Adiyagya. Adimaka. Also another chapter. Boktaram, yakitapasam, sarvalokam, yishanam. Also chapter 9. Aham hi sarvayagyanam, boktaja, kavariyavacha. Okay, so there we have it. This is the Supreme Lord that we worship. Yes. This is the fifth ray of the Lord has so many shaktis. Or the third mula. Is it? Fifth ray, okay? Okay, the Lord has different powers or potencies or energies. Paragraph 2. In the middle, Prabhupada says, his intelligence is not broken under any circumstances, and he stands aloof, although he is the maintainer of the whole creation. So there's a verse, 11:24:20. Says sarga pravartate tava porva parayena nitvisha mahankuram sargartha sityantaya varikshanam. As long as the Supreme Personality of Godhead continues to glance upon nature, material world continues to exist, perpetually manifesting through procreation, the great variegated flow of universal creation. So just imagine, when you look at the nature, there's something behind it. When the sun rises, when the moon rises, there's something behind, and it's the glance of the Lord. He's looking, he's watching. And if he didn't, then it would be finished. Near the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord is the supreme maintainer. Living entities are meant to serve him by offering sacrifices, for he is the rightful enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices. Everyone, therefore, should engage himself in devotional service of the Lord with his life, riches, intelligence, and words. This is the original constitutional position of the living entities. Mm-hmm. I'm reading from, I don't know, am I reading from 15 or am I not? Verse 15, Lord is supreme maintainer. It's not in that purport? Yeah, it is. It's near the end of 15. Near the end of purport of 15. I've got in my book, it's 2, 4, about 8 lines up. After the quote, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. After that quote. I was reading from there. So we should engage ourselves in devotional service with life, riches, intelligence, and words. Who actually spoke that? Prabhupada is paraphrasing a verse here. That you should worship, sacrifice. No, that's true. It's similar. But there's a verse actually from 10th canto here. It's 10:22:35. And I think it's spoken by Lord Krishna himself. I believe. Itavad janma safalyam dehinam nihadehishu panaira taitya vacha shreya acharanam sada. And that says the same thing. You should, Prabhupada often spoke on this verse. He said that his best thing is if you give your life to Krishna. But if you can't give your life, then give some money, give your wealth. And if you think I don't have any money, then give your intelligence. And if you think I have no intelligence, Then give your words for Krishna. So these are the, Prabhupada is paraphrasing here in the purport. Now, at the end of, very end of the purport, one should never compare the sleeping of an ordinary living entity to the sleeping of a Supreme Personality of Godhead in the causal ocean. There is no stage at which a living entity can compare to the Supreme Person. Mayavadi philosophers, being unable to adjust to all this, come to the conclusion of impersonalism or voidism. So one time I was distributing books in Bombay, and one such person came up to me, and he saw the picture of Vishnu sleeping, or Vishnu laying on the causal ocean, and Lakshmi was massaging him, and he says, I think he's sick, and that's why he's there. He must be sick, I think. He has some illness. So anyway, what do you say to people like that? So they're just envious, actually. They're not comfortable like that. They can't enjoy like he enjoys, so therefore they don't have people massaging their feet 24 hours a day, so therefore they get envious and they make all kinds of comments. So in Lord Brahma, in the third canto we heard last year, he was describing the Lord sleeping, 3.9.20. Yo vidyaya anubhato pirushaya vidya nitam vahaja karitika lokaya antarjolehi kashikus kashanukulam bhimor mimalani janasya sukham vivindam. My Lord, you accept the pleasure of sleeping in the water of devastation where there are violent waves, and you enjoy pleasure on the bed of snakes, showing the happiness of your sleep to intelligent persons. At that time, all the universal planets are stationed within your abdomen. So, if somebody, a Mayavadi or somebody in India or somebody says to us, well, how can the Lord sleep? You know, why is this? How can we logically justify that it's possible for the Lord to sleep in the ocean? Okay, well, what about in the ocean? We can't sleep in the ocean. That's all right, but I'm saying, but he's sleeping, to us it appears. I'm just saying, well, how can we justify that the Lord can sleep? They're saying, he's the Lord, how can he sleep? You say, no, he doesn't sleep. That's what he said. That's what he said. Okay, something else, that's what he said, so we don't want to repeat the argument. What else, what's another argument? We can sleep. It's a very similar argument Prabhupada gives. Yes. Yeah, why can't he sleep? Because... Yeah. No, next. Yeah, that's what she said also. Maybe. Yes. Yeah, but logically.
He's tired.
Okay, I'll tell you what Prabhupada said. It's very similar to the argument which Madhavendra Puri gave, that if we can sleep, he can sleep. So Prabhupada's argument was, this is a purport of 3.9.20, that there are many fish and other living entities who live in the ocean, and they sleep, and they do all these things, eating, mating, defending, and sleeping. So why can't the Lord? Because there are so many lesser creatures who can do it, so why can't he? So this was the argument Prabhupada gave. It's interesting. And Prabhupada, he said, why can't the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, sleep on the cool body of a serpent and enjoy in the turmoil of violent ocean waves? If we were put in the violent ocean waves, we couldn't sleep at all. It would be very difficult. But the Lord is doing this, and he's enjoying. This is his pleasure. This is one of his many, many pleasures. He's always enjoying. And one of his pleasures is to sleep on the shesha. The other time when I used to live in Goa, then I would have this raft, and you would just go on the ocean. It would be very, very calm and sleep on this little raft. So it's very, very pleasurable. Yes. And so we like it because he likes it. Verse 16. Yes. Yasmin viruda katayo yanisham patanti yadya vivitasha. My dear Lord, In your impersonal manifestation of Brahman, there are always two opposing elements, knowledge and ignorance. Your multi-energies are continually manifest, but the impersonal Brahman, which is undivided, original, changeless, unlimited, and blissful, is the cause of the material manifestation. Because you are the same impersonal Brahman, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So now he's worshipping the Lord as impersonal Brahman, and he's saying that this impersonal Brahman is the cause of the material manifestation. So how is that? How is the impersonal Brahman the cause of a material manifestation? Yes. Okay, the Mahatattva is situated within the Brahma Jyoti. Anything else? Sai Purush. Okay, living entities are coming from Brahman. They're Brahman, actually. Yes. And there's another explanation somewhere in the second canto. You have something? Okay, everything is originally Brahman. Yes. Yes, Sarvam Kavidam Brahma. 4878. Great. So the answer is also the Lord. The ultimate answer is that the Lord is Brahman, and he is the cause. And he is the cause. Of course, we can see there are many. Last year in third canto, we learned there are basically five causes of creation, and he is one of those causes. Madangopal. Okay, material energy. They're both energies. But the question is, why is Brahman the cause? So I think that they answered that. They answered that. That it is Brahman. Also, the external is also. Or it's in Brahman, and then the living entities are Brahman. That was the answer. Right. Immediate cause. Good. So then, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, actually, there's one more thing that I just remembered about this cause of creation. It's in second canto. There is, I can't remember the exact reference. I think it's in the ninth chapter. Of the second canto, where it talks about the Lord doesn't create with a hammer or anvil, something like that. But the seeds are given to Lord Brahma. The seeds are coming from Brahman, the seeds of creation. So that's an interesting purport to look up. So here in the... What's that? 2 to 5. Uh-huh. Acha. Maybe, I'm not sure if it's that purport, some purport there. So here now, Prabhupada explains what is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Because he's worshipping, he's appreciating the impersonal aspect of the Lord, or the knowledge aspect. So Prabhupada explains Jnana Mishra Bhakta in paragraph 2. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes this impersonal feature or Brahman manifestation of the Supreme Lord is meant for persons who are essentially very advanced, but still not able to understand the personal features or variegatedness of the spiritual world. Such devotees are known as Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, or devotees whose devotional service is mixed with empiric knowledge. So then at the end of the purport, last paragraph, people in general who are under the influence of avidya shakti or maya have neither knowledge nor devotion. But when a person who is a little advanced and is therefore called a jnani advances even more, he is in the category of jnana mishra bhakta, or devotee whose love is mixed with empiric knowledge. So Prabhupada is giving different categories. Jnani, jnana mishra bhakta. When he is still further advanced, he can realize that the absolute truth is a person with multi-energies. So not only does he see the energy, he sees the source when he becomes more advanced. An advanced devotee can understand the Lord and his creative energy. As soon as one accepts the creative energy of the Absolute Truth, the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are also understood. Devotees who are still further advanced in full knowledge can understand the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Only on that platform can one fully enjoy transcendental bliss. So even though the verse is talking about Brahman, Srila Prabhupada is bringing us always to a higher level of realization in his purports. So Brijan gave a nice example. The first, when you're approaching a city at night, What's the first thing that you see? Lights of the city, right. So there's a degree of detail before we become satisfied. So when you first see God, you just see the light. There's so many examples in the scripture that the Lord appeared, but his effulgence was so dazzling that they couldn't see the Lord. His effulgence was so bright. So that's the first thing you see, is the Brahman. And then that should inspire you to come closer and see what is inside that light. What is in that? Who is? From where is that effulgence coming from? So the devotee, he's not satisfied just to see the light. He wants to see the person behind the light, where the light is coming from. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is explaining here. 17. Example of Gyanamishra Bhakta Maitreya. Maitreya Muni. Who? Shonaka. Maitreya Muni is an example, yeah. He says Shonaka. Gona, I don't know. I don't know about that. What a Mishra? Question. If it's not too involved.
Same question about this Gyanamishra Bhakta, because it says that one who is a little bit more advanced, he knows the absolute truth that the person
right.
with multi-energies. And those in avidya, they are just in mind. So what does
yes.
Gyanamishra Bhakta understand?
It appears in this, what Prabhupada is saying here is that he understands the impersonal aspect of the Lord. Yeah, I guess you'd have to look at in Nectar Devotion, the Brahmavadis. It would appear that this is what he's calling Brahma Gyanamishra Bhakta. They may appreciate the form of the Lord, but to them, that's not the supreme. If they see the form of the Lord, they say this is very nice. They don't make offense, but still, for them, it's not the supreme. Shanta, it would appear that this is what's being described here, somebody in Shantaras. Okay, let's go on. Paramatma realization is multi-energies. Okay? Last thing, we have to go on. Now I'm getting late. The fifth ray, okay? Well, as we go along, you can enlighten us as to where we are in the Dashamula. Or Bhagavad Akamarichi Mala. Verse 17. Sakya Shisha Bhagavan Stavaka Patman Ashish Tatari Pachatat Purishan Tavorte Apyeva Maria Bhagavan and Pantadiri Vashiva Maksakamani Pahakantarosman. My Lord, O Supreme Lord, you are the supreme personified form of all benediction. Therefore, for one who abides in your devotional service with no other desire, worshipping your lotus feet is better than becoming king and lording it over a kingdom. So now he's got his realization. I wanted to be a king, but even better than being a king is worshipping your lotus feet. So we should all have that realization. That is the benediction of worshipping your lotus feet. To ignorant devotees like me, you are the causeless, merciful maintainer, just like a cow who takes care of the newly born calf by supplying milk and giving it protection from attack. So in Sharanagati, there's two qualities, depending on the Lord, maintainer and protector. So this is the realization of Dhruva Maharaj, that I'm seeing you as maintainer and protector, just like a cow takes care of a calf. So Prabhupada says something very nice in the purport at the end of paragraph 1. It's a very wonderful sentence that applies to us, hopefully. A devotee must be very sincere in his devotional service. Then, although there may be many things wrong on the devotee's part, Krishna will guide him and gradually elevate him to the highest position of devotional service. So I think a lot of, at least I'm speaking for myself, every day I make so many mistakes, so many things are wrong in my devotional service. But if we can just be sincere somehow, at least one moment of the day, or one hour of the day, do something sincerely, then Krishna will elevate us. Where is this confirmed? In Bhagavad Gita. Okay, raise your hand. Everybody speaking. Gurusevananda. So that's 240. Yes. Madhavan Puri. Tesham satita yuktanam vachitam priti-purvakam. Yes, if you are worshipping me with love, what about if you're doing something wrong in your devotional service? What's the verse? Apichet svacharo vachitimam ananibak. So these are confirmed. So we may be impure, making so many mistakes, but if we're sincere, Krishna will help us. And there's in that purport, Prabhupada is, he says, you may even have a nice guru, and you may even belong to a nice institution, but you may be too stupid or too, what, I don't know the word he uses, to take advantage of your guru's instructions. Maybe you're too foolish or something to take advantage of your guru's instructions. But if you are sincere, doing something, I can't remember exactly. It's the purport of, I think, 10:10 or 10:11, somewhere in there. It says, but if you're sincere and you're acting in devotional service, then Krishna will help you. Yes? Sixth ray. Rasa Tattva. Okay? Yes, thank you. End of the purport. Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya therefore taught us not to ask from the Supreme Personality any benediction, such as material wealth, na dhanam, popularity, na janam, or a good wife, na sundarim. One should simply pray to the Lord to be constantly engaged in His transcendental loving service. Mama janmani, janmani share, bhavatat, bhaktir, arejikitvai. Prabhupada often paraphrases this, the prayers of Lord Chaitanya in his purports. You see, practically the purport is just a string of verses, almost, with a little bit of commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj, being cognizant of his desire for material benefit, wanted protection from the Lord, so that he might not be misled or deviated from the path of devotional service by material desires. So now he's got his realization, now he's very afraid. What is he afraid of now? What's his biggest fear? Dhruva Maharaj, he's seen the Lord and now he's very afraid. Yeah. He'll be given the kingdom. Now he wanted the kingdom and now he's afraid. He's going to give me the kingdom. I'll have to stay here and rot. He's not going to take me back to Godhead. I'm just going to stay here and get all my desires. And I'm not going to go back to Godhead. And I won't get love for Krishna. So that's his big fear. You know? And that was Lord Brahma's fear also. He was afraid that I may fall down in my creation. I'll have to associate with so many living entities or in the mode of passion and ignorance. So he prayed for protection. Prabhupada says we should always be praying for protection from fall down. Verse 18. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, when Dhruva Maharaj had good intentions in his heart, quite different from before, when he didn't have good intentions in his heart. He was one of revenge. Finished his prayer, the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees and servants, congratulated him, speaking as follows. Personality of Godhead said, my dear Dhruva, son of the king, you have executed pious vows, and I also know the desire within your heart. Although your desire is very ambitious and very difficult to fulfill, I shall favor you with its fulfillment, all good fortune unto you. So Dhruva was thinking, oh no, now he's going to give me the kingdom. He's going to give me all my desires. But then the Lord says, all good fortune to you. So by saying this, all good fortune to you, he's removing his anxiety. But don't worry. Even if you get the kingdom, it'll be okay. Because Dhruva was afraid, oh, my material desires, my contamination, now I won't go back to Godhead and get Krishna. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains Dhruva's heart, which the Lord could understand in the beginning of the purport. The Lord is so merciful to his devotee. He immediately said to Dhruva Maharaj, let there be all good fortune for you. The fact is that Dhruva Maharaj was very much afraid in his mind, for he had aspired after material benefit in discharging his devotional service, and this was hampering him from reaching the stage of love of God. So a lot of devotees, they wouldn't mind on the way to love of God having their material desires fulfilled first. But Dhruva Maharaj, now he got the Supreme Lord, now he'll be regretting verse after verse. I think we'll hear these verses tomorrow. He'll be regretting, why did I ask him for this? Paragraph 2. The Lord assured Dhruva Maharaj that Dhruva would not be bereft of the Lord's love. He said, I still love you. Even if you have some material desires, I still love you. He encouraged Dhruva not to be worried that he childishly had material desires and at the same time had the pure aspiration to be a great devotee. Generally, the Lord does not award a pure devotee material opulence, even though he may desire it. But Dhruva Maharaj's case was different. The Lord knew he was such a great devotee that in spite of having material opulence, he would never be deviated from love of God. This example illustrates that a highly qualified devotee can have the facility of material enjoyment and at the same time execute love of God. This, however, was a special case for Dhruva Maharaj. Another special case is Sudama Vipra. So verse 20-21, Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, my dear Dhruva, I shall award you the glowing planet known as the pole star, which will continue to exist even after dissolution at the end of the millennium. No one has ever ruled this planet, which is surrounded by all the solar systems, planets, and stars. All the luminaries in the sky circumambulate this planet, just as bulls tread around a central pole for the purpose of crushing grains. Keeping the pole star to their right, all the stars, inhabited by the great sages like Tarma, Agni, Kashyap, and Shukra, circumambulate this planet, which continues to exist even after the dissolution of all others. So you look up in the sky at night, you can see Dhruvaloka, pole star. And you can see how, when in America, when I was a child, my mother used to take me to planetarium. And the planetarium, you see, they have they do sunset, and then they have all the stars coming up across the sky, and then going down, and then sunrise again. So you can actually see it happening within 1 hour. See the whole, everyone moving around Dhruvaloka. Only Dhruvaloka doesn't move. Polestar remains fixed. So you can see that if you sleep under the stars at night or if you go to a planetarium, you can experience how this is. You can see this actually happening. Purport. Although the polestar existed before its occupation by Dhruva Maharaj, it had no predominating deity. Interesting. No predominating deity before. Dhruvaloka, our pole star, is a center for all other stars and solar systems, for all of them circle around Dhruvaloka, just as a bull crushes grains by walking around and around the central pole. Dhruva wanted the best of all planets, and although it was a childish prayer, the Lord satisfied his demand. A small child may demand something from his father which his father has never given to anyone else, yet, out of affection, the father offers it to the child. Similarly, this unique planet, Dhruvaloka, was offered to Maharaj Dhruva. The specific significance of this planet is that until the entire universe is annihilated, this planet will remain. Even during devastation, which takes place during the night of Lord Brahma. So if we remember, this was Dhruva's desire. He wanted something greater than Brahma. So Brahma, his kingdom is annihilated. So in order to get something better, you have to have a place that's not annihilated. And he got it. Quite amazing that he actually got something better than Lord Brahma. Verse 22. After your father goes to the forest and awards you the rule of his kingdom, you will rule continuously the entire world for 36,000 years, and all your senses will continue to be as strong as they are now. You will never become old. The Lord continued, sometime in the future, your brother Uttama will go hunting in the forest, and while absorbed in hunting, he will be killed. Your stepmother, Suruchi, being maddened upon the death of her son, will go to search him out in the forest, but she will be devoured by a forest fire. So Dhruva wanted revenge, and now he got it. Just imagine, he was, don't be on the bad side of a devotee. Dhruva Maharaj, he was a devotee, and he wanted revenge, and he got it, even though now he didn't want it. He had forgiven everyone. He forgot all his enmity now that he saw the Lord. But even though he forgot, the Lord didn't forget. And he said, no, they will both be killed, as you desired. So this is interesting. So, Dhruva, what lesson should we learn from this? Prabhupada tells us in the purport, important lesson to learn from this episode. Srila Prabhupada says, yes. Never offend a devotee. Right. Should not harbor grudges. Does everybody know what a grudge is? Here we have English second language. Grudge means that somebody did something to you and you remember it, and you remember it, and you remember it for your... Yeah, resentment. You're just waiting to get that person. So this is a grudge, or revenge grudge. Yes. Okay. Not only should you not insult a devotee, Prabhupada says in the purport, not only should we not insult a Vaishya, we should not insult anyone unnecessarily. Why is that? It says not anyone unnecessarily, because they might be a Vaishnava in disguise. They might become later a Vaishnava. And then you get Vaishnava Parad. Yes.
Towards
somebody.
He felt bad. And so much so that the person left his family. So when the person left his family, he felt guilty because he was saying he had every role in that.
Acha.
So I don't know if you mentioned.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he felt that.
Acha.
So he said then the conclusion of the lesson was the moral was that we should not, even if the liberty and the mistake to us.
You should not keep harbor grudge. Yes. Also, that's actually it's part of an artha nivritti that we should. We were talking about that in the previous lila, how we should forgive, not only forgive someone that offends us, but we should also make forgiveness from them, also from that person. So this is an important point, a lesson to learn. For as soon as we walk out the door, we forget. But actually, we have to read. It's very important. Prabhupada is stressing again and again. At the end of the purport, when Suruchi insulted Dhruva Maharaj, he was just a child. She, of course, did not know that Dhruva was a great recognized Vaishnava, and so her offense was committed unknowingly. When one serves a Vaishnava unknowingly, one still gets a good result. And if one unknowingly insults a Vaishnava, one suffers the bad result. A Vaishnava is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pleasing him or displeasing him directly affects the pleasure and displeasure of the Supreme Lord. We discussed that before. Because the devotees are in the heart of the Lord. Therefore, if you insult a devotee, it goes to the Lord's heart. Because that's where he keeps the devotees. So the Lord feels pain in his heart if we insult his devotee. The devotee is very dear to him. Gets a scar. I don't know if it's that bad. But anyway, yes.
Just a question on that. You know from Narada Muni how he became a great devotee?
Yes, Narada Muni became a great devotee. Prahlad heard in the womb. What made Dhruva such a great devotee? Well, he did get the association of Narada also. He got the mercy of Narada. I don't know his previous life. Anybody, you know, in the previous life of Jiva Maharaj? I don't know. Previous life, yes. His mother was saintly. That's another point. The boy usually takes after the mother, usually. Yeah, he's born and he's... he's great-grandson of Brahma. So, obviously, he's special. Special person. Yeah, all of them, yeah. But Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah. Well, this is what Prabhupada is saying. She did not know that Dhruva was a great recognized Vaishnava. Yes. Oh, you got it. Vishnu Purana, let's hear it. Previous birth of Dhruva Maharaj from Vishnu Purana.
As a Brahmin in the previous birth.
Brahmin?
He used to meditate on Vishnu with concentration of mind.
He used to meditate on Vishnu with concentration of mind.
In course of time, he befriended a prince who was a youth.
In course of time, he befriended a prince who was a youth.
A beautiful and bright complexion, enjoying all the pleasures of the world.
And yes, very beautiful youth and enjoying all the pleasures of this world.
Attracted by the position and status of the prince, the Brahmin wanted to become a prince.
Oh, so he became attracted by the status, the enjoyment, he wanted to become a prince.
Maharishi granted his wish, accordingly, Buddha took his next birth as the son of Uttanaka.
So Lord Vishnu granted his wish, and next birth he took birth son of Uttanapad. So don't desire. Be careful what you desire in this life, because your next life you have to come back and get it. Next life you have to take another birth, and maybe another birth, and another birth, and another birth. It may keep continuing. So therefore, we have to learn from Dhruva Maharaj. What should be our desire? How should we desire? Yes.
And maybe from that also, how if one cultivates desires, and the desires keep growing.
Yes, the desires grow.
In that life, you wanted to have that opulence, and then when you got it, you wanted something more.
Yeah. So in last life he wanted that opulence, and then this life he even wanted more opulence. It grows. It can grow. Now you want $1 million, next life you might want $2 million. So these things happen. So we have to be very careful. Verse 24. Lord Vishnu speaks. Ishtva mam yagya hridayam yagya pushkala dakshinaya bhutta cheta sisa satya ante mam samasmarishasi. Lord continued, I am the heart of all sacrifices. You will be able to perform many great sacrifices and also give great charities. In this way, you will be able to enjoy the blessings of material happiness in this life and at the time of your death. You will be able to remember me. That's the best thing. That he's allowing him to enjoy. And you won't forget me at the time of death. So Prabhupada says, the most important factor in this verse is the Lord's instructions regarding how to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the end of life. Ante Narayana Smriti. So what is this? Where was I? I lost my purport here. The result of whatever we do in executing spiritual activities is successful if we can remember Narayana, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we don't remember Narayana, everything is useless. So, Prabhupada, at the end of the purport, explains how to remember Krishna at death. Our Krishna consciousness movement is designed to teach people and to learn ourselves the exact instruction of the Personality of Godhead. So what did we learn about ISKCON in our last class? On Monday at Dhruva Till, Prabhupada made a very heavy statement about ISKCON. Yeah, Sankirtan. Yes, ISKCON. Outside the association of devotees in ISKCON, brackets, it is a hallucination. We think we can make advancement. And then he said, well, our devotional service will not become mature. if we're outside association of devotees. That was from a purport on Monday. Yeah, it was on a purport on. Yeah, from these verses. He said it's a hallucination if you think you can make advancement outside of ISKCON. Quite interesting. So, how to remember Krishna at the time of death? In this way, we shall continuously perform the Sankirtan Yajna and continuously chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Then, at the end of our lives, we shall certainly be able to remember Krishna, and our program of life will be successful. In this age, distribution of prasad has replaced distribution of money. No one has sufficient money to distribute, but if we distribute Krishna prasad as far as possible, this is more valuable than distribution of money. So, there is a practical application of all the sacrifices. He says, sacrifice is my heart. So Prabhupada explains what the sacrifice should be. Chanting Hare Krishna and distributing Krishna prasad. That's the heart of the Lord. Verse 25. The personality of Godhead continued, my dear Dhruva, after your material life in this body, you will go to my planet, which is always offered obeisances by the residents of all other planetary systems. It is situated above the planets of the seven rishis, and having gone there, you will never have to come back again to this material world. So, end of the purport. Prabhupada raises a question. It may be questioned here, what will happen to the planet known as Dhruvaloka at the time of dissolution of this universe? The answer is simple. Dhruvaloka remains, like other Vaikuntha lokas, beyond this universe. Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the very word Navartate indicates that this planet is eternal. Verse 26, the great sage Maitreya said, after being worshipped and honored by the boy Dhruva Maharaj and after offering him his abode, Lord Vishnu on the back of Garuda returned to his abode as Dhruva Maharaj looked on. 27, despite having achieved the desired result of his determination by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj was not very pleased. Thus, he returned to his home. So he got everything he wanted. Why wasn't he happy? Why was he not pleased?
He was ashamed.
What have I done? End of the purport. When Dhruva Maharaj returned home, he was not very much pleased. For although in pure devotional service there is no demand from the Lord, because of his childish nature, he had demanded something. Thus, although the Lord also fulfilled his desire, he was not very pleased. Rather, he was ashamed that he had demanded something from the Lord, for he should not have done this. So there's a nice verse, two verses in 6th canto, 18th chapter, verse 74 and 75. Paratanam bhagavata ihamana nirashisha ye tunichantapi param te sarta kushala smita. Although those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not desire anything material from the Lord and do not even want liberation, Lord Krishna fulfills all their desires. It's interesting, how could somebody who is worshipping the Lord and doesn't want anything, how can he fulfill their material desires also? Interesting. So the example is Dhruva. Verse 70. Oh, it's interesting in that purport, Prabhupada says something here. The Lord fulfills the desire of the devotee by awarding him opulence that will never be destroyed. A karmi's opulence is destroyed, but the opulence of a devotee is never destroyed. A devotee becomes more and more opulent as he increases his devotional service to the Lord. That means you get more and more money?
Satisfaction.
Oh, you have understood. He gets more and more satisfaction. Actually, the opulence of the devotee, the ornaments are Trinadapi Sunichena, Torari Vasahishina. Yes.
It's interesting because we know also last canto and third canto.
Third canto.
Sarupya Shasti Samipya.
Celaka Shashti Samipya.
For
even if the Lord offers, he doesn't accept the four, five kinds of liberation. No, he was not on that level. He wasn't. He hadn't desired liberation. He hadn't. That's, he'll lament for that. Tomorrow we'll hear those verses where he's saying, "I could have asked for liberation." You know. Then now he realizes that, you know, I could have asked for so many things, and what did I ask for? And tomorrow he'll be lamenting like that. The Lord, he can give liberation, but I didn't ask. So in 6.18.75 says, Aradhyatmaparam devam swatmaram jagadisharam kovinittamunasparsham vutpasyam naravetirat. The ultimate goal of all ambitions is to become a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If an intelligent man serves the most dear Lord who gives himself to his devotees, how can he desire material happiness which is available even in hell? So Prabhupada says that a pure devotee doesn't desire liberation, but still, or even material happiness, but still the Lord gives it. And Prabhupada says, this is confirmed in Gita, yoga kshema baham yaham. Whatever my devotee lacks, I will give it to him. And whatever he has, I will protect. So we just have to depend on Krishna because he knows what we need and he gives us what we actually need. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments on today's verses? Yes. So his question is Dhruva going to be stuck on Dhruva Loka eternally? Or is he going to go to a Vaikuntha planet or somewhere else? That's the question. Or go to my abode. Yeah, well, that means at the end of the material life, you'll go to my abode. That's Dhruva Loka. His question is, will he remain in Dhruva Loka?
So, is Dhruva Loka his abode? I thought
it is the Lord's abode. Yeah, that means the end of his material life, then he will go to his abode. Dhruva Loka. Dhruva Loka.
Oh.
Dhruva Loka. Yeah, when he finishes 36,000 years, he'll go to my abode, Dhruva Loka. It's the Lord's abode. Well, he's already finished. But for us to be a king for 36,000 years, in Satya Yuga, of course, not Kali Yuga. Okay. Short, one sentence comment. Yes, aren't you lucky? You can see Dhruva Loka. You can see. No need to wait. So you can just go there and see it every night. Does that make you happy?
Not too much.
Yes, you don't see much. What if there's clouds? What if...
Not too much.
Yes, you just see a little piece of light. If that makes you happy, that's great. But we want to go beyond. We want more. We want to go back to Godhead also. Yes, you can see with your own eyes, with your material eyes, you can see Dhruva Loka. Amazing. No, it's not. It's not far at all. We're in Vrindavan also. You can see. You can go in the temple and you can see the spiritual world, the deities. You can see much more than Dhruva Loka. If you go in the temple, you see the deities. It's much more. Much more manifest, yes.
It seems that at the end of Brahma's life,
yes, he says that. It's quite possible. Where is that? 21. Okay, so here's the answer.
Kids.
Right. Even during devastation, which takes place during the night of Lord Brahma, at the end of Brahma's life, selected personalities go back home, back to Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj is one of them. Okay, so it sounds like he will go somewhere again at the end of Brahma's life. Yes. Yes. It will remain, even during devastation, which takes place during the night, it will remain until, okay, even after dissolution at the end of millennium. Yeah, it does sound like. Yeah, it'll remain for the night of Brahma.
But the
That it seems that it will, at the end of Brahma's life, it will, and then he will go back to Godhead, if I could. Yes. Yes, yes. At the end of the complete dissolution, Dhruva Maharaj will go directly to Vaikuntha Loka, to a spiritual planet in the spiritual sky. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments in this connection that Dhruva Loka is one of the lokas like Shvetadvip, Mathura, and Dwarka. They are all eternal places in the kingdom of God, which is described in Bhagavad Gita. Tad Dhamma Paramam. And in the Vedas, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashati Surveya. The words Padastat Kalpavasinam, transcendental to the planets inhabited after the dissolution, refer to the Vaikuntha planets. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj's promotion to Vaikuntha Loka is guaranteed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It appears that he will proceed further at the end of Brahma's life to a Vaikuntha Loka planet. Did you have a question? Yeah, later on he goes in an airplane. Yes, yes. Got a picture. But that's to Dhruva Loka. So even to Dhruva Loka they have, because it is a spiritual planet, so there are, the Vishuddhutas are also there at Dhruva Loka, and the Vishnu airplane, Vimana, the Vishnu airplanes are also there. So he'll be going by a very special airplane to Dhruva Loka. Yes. Okay, 350 years ago, there was a place in Maharashtra where Tukaram was picked up by the Vaikuntha airplane. So if you want to go to the airport, the Vaikuntha airport,
you can
visit that place and you can pray for the next flight going to Vaikuntha. Wait. UFO. Yes, the next flight going to Vaikuntha. We can also go to where Dhruva, up in the Himalayas. It's closer. Up there.
They chant the songs about.
Okay, they chant the songs of him going. Oh, right. He introduced Sankirtan in Maharashtra. Yes. Was he a disciple of Lord Chaitanya? He was a disciple of Lord Chaitanya who introduced Sankirtan in Maharashtra.
And he,
that's not 350, yeah. Unless, well, maybe he lived for 150 years.
No, it says he did not take initiation when Lord Chaitanya was manifested. He took initiation in dream.
Oh, not sure.
When?
In dream. Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, he's mentioned in some purport, I think, somewhere. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was in, where did he go? He went to the Himalayas to go back to Godhead, right? Dhruva Maharaj. He went up to Bhadrikashram, yes? And so the planes are also going from Bhadrikashram, the Vaikuntha planes. So we can, actually, also from Vrindavan and Mayapur. Yes? Yeah, I didn't mention it. Purusharthamurti. That was mentioned in the verse, the supreme personified form of all benediction, personification, murti of artha, purushartha. And what is the, of course, we have four purushartas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha.
This is the proof
of the fifth one. Of the fifth, what are we talking about? The fifth purushartha.
Yes.
Yes. Because he was asking for one of the others, but he gave him prema. He gave him the fifth. Purushartha, prema kumartha mahan. Yes. Any other questions? Yes. Okay, his question is, do the inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka have a desire to go to Goloka? That is the question. It's probably there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita somewhere. But, yes. Yeah, nectar of devotion is mentioned. That they're happy. They're happy being there. And they don't, if you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they don't appreciate when Gopa Kumar comes and starts playing his flute to please the Lord. So this is not the place for this. You should be very reverent and offer nice prayers and awe and veneration. You can't be playing your flute here. And he was wanting a more intimate relationship with the Lord. But they were very happy having the reverential and opulence, having the four kinds of liberation. You get to enjoy the same level of opulence as the Lord, live close to him, live on the same planet, have the same form, and you have, you know, they're married, they have nice wives, everything's there, all enjoyment. But their only enjoyment is to chant the holy name, and everything else is a disturbance. Okay, the question, is it a question? Her question is that it seems like here in this world is the only place we get a choice. Once you go to Vaikuntha, then you're stuck. But it's not like that. It's like here it's true in the human form of life, it's the only chance that you have to get liberation and go back to Godhead. But the point is that the choice is already there. We have our relationship with Krishna. And it's only a matter of uncovering it. It's already eternally there. But now we're just trying to find out what it is. And Krishna will reveal. And then we'll be so happy. And we'll accept, hopefully. We'll accept this time our relationship with Krishna. Yeah.
You can receive in the case of God when he's being dispatched from...
Yeah, that's true.
To
Uddhava. He's going between Dwarka and Vrindavan. He's one of...
Right. So Krishna wants to show to him that there is a higher than you.
Yes, because he's the best devotee in Dwaraka.
So there's still instruction going on.
Yes.
By Krishna.
And he's praying to be a creeper in Vrindavan. Although he's the best devotee in Dwaraka, his desire is to be creeper or even something so
dust.
Yeah. Yes. Like Brahma also. Evolution. Actually, there is evolution, yes. There's prema. Prema is always increasing. It's always increasing. But not necessarily that you change from one rasa to another. But the intensity is always increasing. And there are different levels of prema. So in that sense, yes, you are, it is, yeah. Yeah, so they got to go to Gaur Lila from Vaikuntha.
It's still expanding there.
It's always expanding, yes. So yes, they not only do they enjoy the pleasure of Lord Krishna's company in his lila, but they also go to Gaur Lila. And even the doorkeepers in Vaikuntha, they got to go to Gaur Lila. Anyway, this is something else. This is a little speculation here. So we want to talk according to Shastra. Any other questions or comments? Yes. Oh yeah, that's a mistake. It should be 27. You see, tomorrow it's 28, right? I didn't catch that, actually. It was a mistake there in the schedule. It should be to 27 today. Then tomorrow is 28 to something or other. 36? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It should have been 27. I didn't catch that mistake. 28 to 36. Any other questions? Questions or comments? And if not, we will stop early today. 20 minutes early. Anybody have any objection? No. You have group work, so you're happy. Okay, good. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.